1. You ready? Okay, we'll call the CSD Improvements Committee to order, January 7th. Comments from the public.
I have a request.
Yes, Richard? Yes.
I come to these meetings, committee meetings, and the public's not allowed in until literally the last minute, and then pretty quickly you start the meetings. I request that either you let us in sooner or wait until we're ready, because I'd like to get my laptop started and take my coat off, and, you know, I need a little time.
Okay.
That's fair.
Request noted.
I did owe that request.
All right. Okay, moving on then. Review monthly updates.
All right, digging right into the monthly updates. There's not a lot going on with the holidays just behind us. The big thing was comments provided by Coastland on Rancho North project as it related to drainage. I'll let Lori speak to that.
Yeah, we provided comments in, I think, December 11th regarding Rancho North. They are the district's comments, but they are partial in the sense that Sac County is also doing a concurrent review for their portion of the work. Mm-hmm. And we are working with Sac County on that as appropriate.
Okay.
One thing I want to add to that is that Sac County is the land use authority on this.
Yes.
So we are commenting agency to the county.
That's correct.
With them as the land use authority. They
correct.
Manage the environmental document and comments that are provided back from all utilities and other governmental agencies and quasi-governmental agencies. The planning function there is
absolutely
stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you know, the staff report makes reference to prohibition of runoff urban development entering the reservoir, the water supply reservoirs, and there's just a footnote caveat on that or a question. I think Sac County has a design year event that's associated with that that's not listed here, so I just want to make sure that that's noted. It's not 100% diversion. It's
those are the comments from Coastland, and what it refers back to is prior master plan drainage review comments.
Right. I just
what was referenced.
Right. I just want to make sure that someone doesn't mistake this comment in this particular note that 100% of the runoff is diverted. Because in some
years
extreme
it is what
well
you're
and
saying,
yeah and extreme peak conditions and mm-hmm. and or high year runoff it may not be totally diverted, but it's significantly diluted.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair. Could I ask one question?
Sure.
I'm assuming, just from what I saw there, that the developer is proposing some drainage to go into Lake Comanche. I know that's what they mentioned back in the stakeholders meeting, that they did want to go into Lake Comanche, although they would filter it like crazy. But I assume that's what they're proposing. Mm-hmm. Am I correctly assuming?
Yes, it's diverted into treatment facilities, you know, ponds.
But they would go into Comanche.
And then in extreme runoff conditions.
Just extreme runoff only would go to Comanche, or?
Well, yeah, there's a design year, and I'd have to look, and I don't recall what it is, but I'd have to look and see. I don't know whether it's a 10-year, a 25-year, or a 100-year event, but there's peak runoff. That
exactly, yes.
100-200 is what it said.
But so unless there's a peak, it wouldn't go into the lake.
Yeah, again, other directly. It'll go through treatment facility.
Yeah, right. And then mm-hmm, go into
mm-hmm,
the lake.
Mm-hmm. Diverted treatment. Okay.
Okay. Got it.
And I don't know that it's 200, but. Okay, Paul.
So moving on with the other projects, the marketplace, you can see the Bel Air is going up there. They did some paving, but nothing related to district infrastructure. Lots 4 and 5, nothing really going on there as it related to infrastructure as well. Same thing with lots 10 and 11. Mm-hmm. Just some cursory review information given back on those projects. And on the Gardens 2 infrastructure, it's not quite complete. I touched base with the inspector with Coastland Engineering, Andrew Killen, who said there's a few handful of items that are left to be done to consider that complete.
Correct.
And also that the project manager has not called for a punch list yet, which kind of starts that process of requesting that it be deemed complete. And on the FAA Business Park, which is at the end of Cantova Drive, no movement on that as well. So that's been waiting for a long time with information back and forth with Sacramento County. On district projects, on effluent pump replacements, that's in the packet here today. Mm-hmm. On the water rights renewal, Wagner and Monsignor is still working on the petition for extension. I should have something shortly as it relates to that.
Okay. Paul, just backing up to the district projects.
Sure.
And we can discuss this as those projects come up. You know, are there any issues driving the project scheduling, failing pumps, things like that, that are absolutely critical?
With that project, when we get to that
particular one,
the effluent pump replacements, okay. You can see there's a lot of corrosion there. They're still functioning very well, which is pretty amazing.
Okay.
We just want to prevent any downtime, so it's trying to be proactive, mm-hmm. getting work done ahead of when there would be an issue like midsummer.
Yeah. Okay. So. Deal with those when they come up. All right.
So there's no immediate need, it's being proactive.
Right. Yeah.
Well, immediate needs.
Yeah.
Actually.
Planned. Yeah.
Water rights renewal, as I mentioned, they're working on the petition for extension, dam inundation mapping, and emergency action plans. There's been no update on that. On the recycled water and untreated water fee study, touch base with Clear Source Financial Consulting before the holidays, and they responded back during the holidays that they want to have a first meeting to discuss that on January 22nd.
All right.
So I'll review the cursory information they provide on that. And on this chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite conversion, I've got two items in the packet today with more detail on mm-hmm. that. So I'll cover that in detail later.
All right.
Any questions on anything?
Any questions? Public comments? Questions? Staff? Okay. If not, Randy, we'll move on.
Right, so the next item here is to consider the approval of the replacement of 3 pumps at water treatment plant number 1.
Do we have, wait a minute, what about A4?
I'm just looking at the packet.
Item A4?
I apologize.
There we go.
And then we were going to have, the pedestrian bridge. Update on ZR?
We're done with that.
So that's the update. We're done.
Update. It's done.
Have they done any improvements?
They have not done any improvements.
They're signing.
He said he was going to do it. Correct.
All right. So on number 4, this is just a very brief update. There is essentially no update. We're still working, unless you have on the
I don't have. A little bit of a slowdown over the holidays, so I'll give you an update.
Okay. Shortly.
But yeah, it's still a hot item that should be.
And we're still compiling just the record here at the district as to what actions were taken and why the actions were taken.
Mm-hmm.
So, and RMA has asked for that information, so we're still working on compiling.
Okay.
Compiling.
There's no, okay.
Yeah. The next item, number 5, is the requested access to the RMCSD drive. So this has been something that's been discussed in passing for quite some time, but really no hard facts behind it. And so and this is from Sullivan, who owns the property, and that group, the
right.
Sumnus Riverland, that owns that property
mm-hmm.
Just west of the facilities here. And in their attempt to develop that property, there's no specific plan for it, but there's discussions of everything from light industrial to commercial. I don't think they mentioned residential as a potential at all. But So with that, given the curves in the highway there, there's only right-in, right-out potential for the first drive that would be at the bend right beyond the where the bridge is there, and the yellow bridge at the river. And so to make that feasible for the increased traffic loads, they were asking for potential access. And this is just very preliminary. That's why I just wanted
to start
hearing the ideas behind this. This, you know, that property was valued at a point where those constraints were known. And that when that was purchased, that was, you know, part of the cost basis for the purchase of that lands. They have approached the district with a request to access our drive right out here as a potential access to a signal to allow a westbound movement on Highway 16. I have concerns about that, and the district, I think, should have concerns. We have unfettered access to the signal, no delays of staff at the signal that are leaving. We have quite a few trucks that move in and out of this facility. We do not control that signal.
Right.
So we would be up to whatever the whims are of whoever controls that signal if we were to add commercial traffic and stacking to that intersection at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There would also be potential loading depending on the commercial use of that property that would impact our roadway here. Paul has also mentioned that we have utilities running very close to the surface right underneath what would be the alignment if it were to occur along this access point right here. So they have provided the first time that we've seen an actual proposed alignment for the discussion. We have not conceded to any agreement to say we will even want to move forward with this. And so, Paul, if you could maybe outline on the map what they're proposing right
now. So this is our existing driveway. They want to utilize the existing drive and then have a turn in into this area, which there's a road that comes over to here, and an unimproved dirt road runs across here, across the drainage, up to where their property's at. Their property outlines approximately like that.
And our solar field is in between,
Our solar field is right here. This is an old
solar field.
So there's not a great deal of stacking capacity at the signal already before you even get to our drive here.
Very
probably
short.
About four vehicles, something like that on a practical basis. And so, you know, you look at the cumulative impact, and I'm just trying to lay everything out.
Yes.
You know, I've got prior traffic experience. When you have stacking like that, and, you know, you look at our staff, and you look at the thousands of operations over a year of trucks moving in and out of this facility, that has impact, cumulative impact over time to our ability to get out there and conduct our work. So it's just something we want to consider. Wanted to just bring it to your attention right now as a starting point. And that's it.
One of the potential mitigation measures for that stacking is double stacking and then improvements on Highway 16 for two receiving lanes. And that would be way out of cost, so very, very costly. So,
well, that's up to them. But what's the potential? What are they talking about usage there? Commercial?
Commercial or light industrial?
Commercial.
There's really,
is that what it's zoned?
Isn't it zoned? light industrial right now?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Honestly. But yeah, I think it would be highly unusual to put. Given the uses that are here and our potential use of expanding one of our ponds potentially to the west, I mean, that's one option that we have. To place a residential development there would not be practical. And so commercial or light industrial would probably be the two uses that you would potentially see.
Jeff wants an Indian casino. I'm just kidding.
I didn't hear that one. All right, information item. Very good.
Some more informational item just to get you.
Questions, comments, public?
I realize this is just preliminary, but what would be in it for CSD? Why would CSD agree to anything?
It would have to be heavily mitigated, and this is really up for a board decision to make that decision. I've laid out what some of the concerns are. There would have to be some kind of trade-off and benefit to the district and the public, you know, represented by the district.
But at this point, you have no idea what that might be.
No. Okay. That's not identified. It's just an information item right now.
Okay.
But your point is well taken. Oops.
All right. The next item is something that just kind of came up right at the end of the year, and so bringing this to your attention, this was not online as part of the packet, but we, if I could, I'm going to...
Number five, yeah.
If you can provide your copy.
To Lori?
Or, no, we should make more copies of that to hand out as part of that. Which,
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, wait. Why don't you stay and... Here's a copy, and if I could use yours to refer to.
Who wants a copy?
So as you,
what is it?
This is related to item number 6.
Item number 6.
And so I drafted this this morning. I was waiting for information from the executive director of SCGA, the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority. So I sit as a board member on the SCGA, right. The district does, but mm-hmm. I represent the board there. And in the end of this year, I had mentioned to the board at a prior board, at the November board meeting, or December board meeting, I think it was, that the SCGA, as a board, had entered into a settlement agreement with the Slough House Resource Conservation District. And the whole reason for that lawsuit was that the Slough House Resource Conservation District had felt that the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority had stepped on their toes, essentially, as far as mm-hmm. their area of responsibility for preparation of groundwater sustainability plans and the function as a groundwater sustainability agency. So the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority is a GSA, a groundwater right. sustainability agency. They have a large area of responsibility all the way from the south of the American River, west to Elk Grove and I-5, Walnut Grove area, down to the Cosumnes, north of the Cosumnes River, all the way east to, generally, to Rancho Murrieta, with the exception of some of Omnichumney Hartnell area, which is right along the Cosumnes, just north and south of the Cosumnes River.
Mm-hmm.
We have participated in the SCGA for over a decade now as board members and as a, you know, someone who has a voting participatory responsibility with mm-hmm. that board.
Thank you.
In this discussion, in the settlement agreement, the SCGA has agreed on the intent to negotiate what the boundaries of responsibility would be for the groundwater sustainability areas and thus the preparation of groundwater sustainability plans.
Mm-hmm.
The latest proposal would move us into Slough House Resource Conservation District and preclude us from the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority.
Okay.
We have had no involvement in this discussions, in this process, and so I appreciate the head of SCGA bringing this to our attention, saying, now's the time to engage, get involved, mm-hmm. and so I will be doing that. This map that's provided as part of this, and this is what's key, is you see the area that includes Rancho Murrieta is in the area without a color overlay.
Mm-hmm.
And that area is, if you read the legend there, and where I've highlighted within the legend, you'll see that it says SRCD, that's Slough House Resource Conservation District, proposed new GSA boundary, says the area represented by them would be depicted that roughly follows these rules. Within the South American subbasin, so South American subbasin has typically extended into the area that has no overlay,
mm-hmm.
and north of the Cosumnes that isn't part of Omnichumney Hartnell's area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have been a paying member for years on the SCGA mm-hmm. with the knowledge and information that we are part of the South
SCGA,
American
right.
subbasin. That's also the area where we were going to place a well, and when investigated was the best spot that if we ever are to place a public
right.
well for public purposes would be within this area.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's been described to me that this is connected hydrologically to the South American subbasin, primarily,
yeah.
which is part of the SCGA area. So what I'm getting at here is I do not believe it is in the interest of Rancho Murrieta CSD to become a member and to have the Slough House Resource Conservation mm-hmm. District assume this area.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, is because a majority of Slough House Resource Conservation District interests and water usage does not impact us as much. It's agricultural interests to the south of here. The area that's within their region right now of Rancho Murrieta is all potable water. We don't expect to use wells in those areas or place a well in those areas, nor was it proved out that those would be beneficial areas to place a well. We do not sit as a board member on Slough House Resource Conservation District, so we would not have a voting interest on that board and in making decisions, and we would be obligated financially to contribute to the preparation of their groundwater sustainability plan. The way it was described to me by the executive director of the Central Groundwater Authority, Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority, is that we could select which GSA we wanted to move forward with, potentially, that was an option. And so I'm recommending Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority. The reason why is if we were to place a few things, it's not just whether or not we place a well. As I've mentioned, the conjunctive uses that this state is moving toward with groundwater usage, recharging, or surface water uses and riparian water uses, recharging groundwater, at some point there may be demands on our Cosumnes River water and also even our reservoir water at some point, mostly our Cosumnes River, our ability to draw out of that river for uses downstream. The primary draws on that water are the urban areas that are within the SCGA. So you have Elk Grove, you have Sacramento, Folsom. You also have Sacramento County, Rancho Cordova. All this development, all this agricultural interest that's north of the Cosumnes River is really largely what's going to impact our ability to draw any kind of water out of a well, and also would probably be the largest draw on Cosumnes River water demands on our rights to that water. So, and we sit as a board member. So I really advocate, if we were to advocate, my recommendation is that we try to remain with the SCGA. This kind of came out of left field. We do know that the Slough House Resource Conservation District, same as Omnichuni Hartnell, has quite an interest of local control of local areas. But in this case, I strongly believe that we need to remain engaged and on the SCGA board.
And
have them govern our area of concern here.
And with the different timings of agricultural versus residential land uses and water consumption, water demands, and then the issues of fisheries, the concerns, I think it's appropriate. There are other additional entities within the community that may want to be at least informed, because the country club also draws from the river, and I know it may not have wells, but but
sure.
So good point.
The other area of concern is that all of a sudden the urban service, if you look at the area that's like a white overlay to the west, and it's described as the urban service line, I have no idea why that would have been drawn as any boundary for the delineation. It doesn't make sense. It really has nothing to do with the sub-basin, the groundwater sub-basin. So that seems to be arbitrarily selected as some way to, and I do not understand the politics that was behind this selection, but I have a feeling there's something going on. And so I'll try to delve into it. I have questions going.
General plan. Sacramento County general plan.
And I understand what the urban services line is likely. I mean, I'm a planner by nature, so I know what an urban services line is, so I think I know what it is. But I've asked the executive director of SCGA to make real clear, why was that even selected as a delineation in determining what's on this map? It doesn't make sense to me as
more
why that was broken out that way, unless somebody had an interest to break it out that way. Given the fact that they've always represented that, and we've paid dollars to SCGA as a member for years, saying that we're part of that South American subbase.
Right.
So we'll more investigation. I'm still waiting for a response from the director. This month's meeting was unexpectedly canceled of the SCGA due to maybe a personal thing that had come up, or emergency or something like that. But and so it may be that the director is unavailable for personal reasons or something like that. I'm still waiting to hear back. So We'll try to get some response to that. There is a meeting of the working group at the end of this meeting that I plan to attend, and there's also the Slough Resource Conservation District meeting on Wednesday here. Mm-hmm. And I'll be attending that meeting too to see where they are on that discussion.
Okay.
All right. So that's just an information item, and then at some point in time it'll come back as a proposal to the maybe this committee and the board for
how to proceed
direction.
So I'm not following this.
I might be need another cup of coffee or something. But so the green shaded area is the
Cosumnes
Basin. Mm-hmm. The red is outside of any jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the blue, white in the left hand remains in the CGA, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So Omna Chumne Hartnell is actually a member of the SCGA.
And the proposal is to make our portion of Murrieta green.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have borders with both the green and the other.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
So what we have to look at is, from a practical standpoint, what are the interests of the district, and what are the influences to our interests over the long term? And I really think it's the SCGA related. If you were to look, it's overwhelmingly the SCGA interests that would impact those bodies that are involved with that group that would impact our interests long term.
Mm-hmm. Could SCGA force any of their interests on us if we
have a voting interest?
Voting.
So
interest.
At least we have a voting interest.
But if the other entities, you know, that make up those voting interests say, we want you to water,
it would still have to go to a vote, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not gonna stop the draw. We would have no vote on
right.
the board.
Unless we're to give our seat on their board as a condition of moving into their area.
The politics
of this, I think this is so preliminary that to say that we know one way or the other which is the best way to go at this point without totally understanding how this is going to be structured and the politics of it is.
I get
what you said. I totally understand it, but I would not close my mind to any of the possibilities of where this eventually is going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
that's a valid point. Right. The other consideration that I did not bring up is that we would likely, there are very few other larger interests in the Slough House Resource Conservation District area. So as far as funding, preparation of the sustainability plan, we'd likely be tapped for a lot of the large percentage of that cost, even though we have almost a negligible interest in the resources in that area, and also no well in the ground at that point. Right now, the cost of the Sacramento plan is going to be north of $1 million for the preparation of that plan document.
And again,
it's spread across all the members of that.
And again, the difference in focus of the water usage, the water demands. There are no significant no significant agricultural uses within CSD area, and there are no significant residential demands in the
Cosumnes.
Right.
There's a little bit of Galt, I think, is part of it, but that's about it.
But not much. And so there's mostly a significant difference in interest for the water demands to be considered as well. Okay.
So a lot of this, like I said, this particular angle is very new, and so just trying to gather information at this point.
Okay.
I will try to assess how quickly this is moving along.
Mm-hmm. Report back.
There may be a decision point much sooner than later,
okay,
depending on how quickly they expect to move on.
And are there any outside information or knowledge resources that the CSD would be interested in procuring their services, or is that all in-house consideration?
At this point, until we have more information, I'm not certain. I mean, my understanding is, you know, there is some connectivity between the groundwater basins, but that connectivity is far to the west. Largely, if you look at the groundwater level maps that are between the two basins, right. The Cocinas and the South American, they're largely, if I recall, seeing these the underground or the groundwater depth maps and all that. I believe it's near Sheldon, basically, about that area along the Cocinas is where there's some connectivity of the basins. Mm-hmm. You can actually see the contours come together. And there's like an hourglass right there of
in the cone of depression.
But it's not immediate to this area. Mm-hmm. The other factor that I'd like to say is that the groundwater recharge areas that have been identified are largely that I've seen, but maybe this is just the involvement in the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority, are north of the Cocinas River. So if they were to extract out of the Cocinas for recharge, the gravelly soils and all that were identified north of. But I have not been involved in the Cocinas River Basin enough. And so I'll try to keep an eye on that too a little bit more to know whether or not they've identified groundwater recharge areas in that boundary. So I'll do some research.
Okay. All right. And I am to be cognizant of and continue watching. All right. Moving on then to, are there any other comments, public discussion? Okay, moving on then to item number 7.
All right, so this item is for the replacement of 3 of the pumps at water treatment plant number 1. There's currently 5 pumps there that pump water up into the tanks from the treatment process at plant number 1. This is to replace 3 of the pumping columns and head structure of the pumps. So motor attaches to the pump. This is to replace the whole pump structure. Originally, when we put the CIP together, we were looking to potentially do a rehab. After discussing with staff and GM and actually contractors, you know, based on the pictures we had shown them of when we pulled those pumps back in 2016 as part of the water treatment plant expansion project. And you can see in the picture here, this is what the pumps look like. They highly suggested just go for a complete replacement because there may not be enough steel left. Time and effort to pull the pumps, to sandblast them, take them apart, and put them back together, potentially, you know, there's a long lead time on that. And for whatever reason, we need those pumps back in service. We're not going to have those in that lead time versus you get a new pump, you can swap them out in a day. And then you're going to have the long-term viability of a new pump in there as well. So we look forward, we put a packet together to just have those replaced. The lowest bid came back from Kirby Pump and Mechanical and requested a contingency on that just as part of normal practice, just to cover any potential unforeseen costs, which I don't believe there will be any. And as this exceeds the general manager's authority, we're seeking the committee and then board approval for it.
Okay. I look back at CIP 20-5-1 in the 1920 budget and see that it is a CIP, and just make a note that was total budget was $65,000. In that budget, but I still have a continuing concern over the nomenclature in the district between capital improvement projects and capital replacement projects, CRP. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for future issues, I'd still like to make sure that we're dealing with those two items separately, capital improvement versus capital replacement. This appears to be a capital replacement project, so designation, proper designation and accounting would be a good idea. And then, you know, it goes on to my standing comment about having a 5-year capital moving capital replacement budget projections, and then also capital improvement plan projections. And then, like I said, it's you know, it was budgeted for 65. We have the 15% contingency at 50, basically 52,000. So it's well under budget. Any other comments, questions? I did have one, and this relates to my previous question. With the rush in the changes with the RFP, and then the addendum for the RFP, has staff had adequate time to carefully review the responses, the proposals, and making sure that there's no differences between them?
It's a full replacement, and they need to adhere to the bid packet, so there's no concern.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure the staff has had adequate time to carefully review, and not, you know, a rush to, you know, because the responses were delayed, mm-hmm. not to put the staff in a predicament of not having had adequate time to review all of the bids, and so that's the only.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Is there anything in the packet regarding this item 7?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a late addition.
Okay.
But it should be the only packet that's on the internet.
Okay. Well, I downloaded this yesterday.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
never
it was.
Mind.
It was late
early
yesterday.
In the morning. Early. This item wasn't available because of when the bids came in, mm-hmm. but then later in the afternoon it became available.
Mm-hmm. And that's
so you'll be able to see it now if you go back onto the internet.
Yeah, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, and then again, that was my reference to the timing. You know, if it was rushed, if staff hasn't had time to carefully review, and Paul is indicating that it's fine. Okay. Any other comments? Okay, then I would make a recommendation that. We move this forward to the board for approval, given and that, you know, if staff needs to have any additional time to review it further, then between now and the time of the board. Okay. Randy? Okay. All right. Moving it forward to the board then.
Thank you.
Again, and you know, with the comments about CIP versus CRP and 5-year floating plans, rolling plans. Okay, moving on to item number A8, chemical feed pump.
So I'm looking to get what's referred to as a chemical feed skid. And what the skid is it's a prepackaged system where you have two chemical feed pumps on it, and I'm looking to get two of those. One would be for feeding the bleach at the front end of the plant. The other would be for feeding the bleach at the back end of the plant. Both are needed for disinfection purposes and the treatment process. This is part of the project to replace chlorine. We currently feed chlorine at both those sites as well. Chlorine gas, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So we would put this in our chemical storage room, and we'd have to then wire these pump skids up. These skids are prepackaged that they have all the components necessary to have them tied into SCADA, and then they're specifically designed for sodium hypochlorite bleach use. So they have all the strainers, the pressure gauges, the back pressure systems that are needed to make the systems operate properly. And then they're sized appropriately for what the demands would be from current up to when we expand the facility to meet a 3 million gallon per day flow.
Master plan buildup.
Yep. And so getting bids on those, the lowest bid came from Hopkins Technical Products, and we're seeking that's get approved so we can proceed with that project.
These prices are so close together. I'm curious. Is this is just all the same product that these three vendors are quoting on?
It is.
It's really a matter of how much they wanted to mark it up. And so the one guy is $200 less because he figured out that if he was $200 less, he'd get the work. Do we care? Do we know these people? Do we care? It's just so close that it's almost like, you know, if one of these vendors has a better
service record
or reputation, mm-hmm. virtually no difference in these prices, and you're getting the same things.
Yeah, that's why we're going with the lowest price vendor, and we had done work with Hopkins, HDP, Hopkins Technical Products in the past, and the package skid they're providing is a prominent system. It's a very robust, well-recommended system from area water districts, and that's also what we have at the water facility, so that we can have redundancy there with and knowledge understanding with the systems.
So there is a difference between the products that they're...
They're all requesting. This was all for a prominent package system.
Okay. Well, I noted that the total budget for this entire project for the CIP 1807-2 was $266,140. So, total for the entire conversion, where do we stand in the budget?
We haven't spent any of the budget at all yet, so this is...
Any of your work and...
I have not been assigning my time to it as of yet.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, so would...
And we hadn't done that in the past, but...
I understand.
That's something, you know, we can maybe consider doing.
It's just typically a background question, mm-hmm. so, you know, making sure that our budget projections... are based in some reality, you know, of mm-hmm. what the total cost is going to be. And so we may never see this type of an item before. I mean, again, because it's a, you know, unique internal, because you went out previously and asked for preliminary estimates of cost and was way above total.
Yeah, just for engineering costs.
Just for engineering costs.
Off the budget.
Right.
And so that's why, you know.
And so, again, my reference is just to making sure that we're adequately tracking the budget items.
Yes, yeah, I'm going to be compiling all expenditures and costs on a master spreadsheet so we can track this information. But I wasn't anticipating of putting staff time into that portion, only expenses mm-hmm. on materials and outside vendors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I do my other question that I had Randy already covered. So is there any material difference between the selection? You've covered that. Okay, well, if there's any other comments, public comments, staff comments, Randy, you want to make a recommendation, or I will? I would recommend moving this to the board for approval of $41,068.41.
Agreed.
And then, okay, and then the only other question is the sewer capital improvement reserves. This is capital improvement indeed versus capital replacement, so that's appropriate. Okay, moving on then.
So this next item is also related to the
A9
conversion project. Mm-hmm. This is CIP 1807-2.
Mm-hmm.
And this is to get two chemical storage tanks. So currently when we're feeding chlorine gas, we've got these tons that we order and they're on deposit. And so to get bleach, we need storage facilities to house the bleach and distribute the bleach. This is to get two tanks that are specifically designed for storage and use of bleach. Companies replied with Burlingame Engineers being the lower cost vendor and, in my opinion, the preferred vendor. Their polyethylene tanks have a special lining on them that have been rated very well. Talking to other districts, they highly recommend those type of tanks due to those antioxidant layers that they put as part of their fabrication process. So I'm happy that they came in lower on that. So these tanks would then go in our tank farm, and again, they'd be used, as I specified in the last month's update, one would be receiving the bulk, other would be diluting it down into a lower strength so it's more stable, because at the higher strengths, the bleach dissipates and off gases. So we do that, and then potentially there may be a need for a third tank in the future for a smaller one. And then if we did need that, we would potentially put that where the chlorine storage room exists. Once we get rid of the tons, chlorine ton containers out of there, there would be a smaller tank that would fit in that room that we use to distribute the bleach solution as well. And then these are insulated tanks, and that helps to prevent degradation of the bleach product as it sits within the tank.
Okay. any questions, comments?
When they answer your request for a quote, is there a life expectancy on these?
I asked that question too, and the one vendor did not reply. The other vendor gave back that they had a 10-year warranty, I believe. Is that part of that? So there was no specific life. They say it depends on how it's exposed to heat, how often it's used. Are you putting diluted solution in, or is it just always straight, very strong solution? Some districts have hypochlorite generators where they're producing a very low percentage solution, which then doesn't have the oxidation properties of strong solution. So. I did ask that question.
That's kind of the answer I expected. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious.
But it does. It's an interesting question because it leads us to consider the idea of rolling these into our capital replacement program budget mm-hmm. as well.
And if it wasn't a specifically designed tank, I did happen to come across an engineer that I knew from past over the holidays and mentioned I was doing a project like this, and they had said with the non-specific type tanks, those tanks can wear out in 5 to 10 years. So that's, I'm like, whoa, that's pretty pricey and not a good thing because it can cause leaks as well. As it relates to leaks too, these are single-walled tanks, but we have secondary containment concrete structures around it where they'd be at if there was any leaks on any of the fittings or the structure itself.
Okay. I don't have any other comments other than the budgetary comments. This CIP has this agenda has a total of $91,215 for this particular capital improvement program, and again, the budget is well under the previous estimated budget so far. Okay, well, I guess with those comments then, again, rolling it the projections into our future capital replacement program, I'm ready to make a recommendation to move this forward to the board for consideration, approval.
Agreed.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on item number 10, director staff and comments. Let's go staff first. Any other comments, staff? Okay. I'd also like to include public. Any public comments? Final public comments? Director comments? Okay, the only comment I have is a continued request for a comprehensive listing of CIP versus CRP on a five-year rolling program schedule. I've said that about 15 times this today. All right. Other than that, I will request a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All right. Second, we are adjourned. Thank you.